I'm going to be talking about CDC plans for monitoring impact of the HPV vaccine in the United States. And I'd like to preface this with the fact that there are some interesting activities occurring at the local and state level, and I won't be talking about many of those. And also, I'd like to sort of share that this is an ongoing, evolving area. And as you'll see through this presentation, there's a lot of challenges in measuring the impact of the HPV vaccine. We're learning more and more about how to best do that. So as far as HPV vaccine monitoring, of course, biological outcomes, behavior, safety, and vaccine uptake are all important. For the focus of this presentation, I'll be primarily addressing impact on biological outcomes and how CDC is planning to measure the impact of the HPV vaccine. Certainly, I think we all know that there's this is an important area. There's competing priorities at the program level, as you all know, and this sets a focus on the objectives of an immunization program and provides real-world effectiveness of a vaccine for use in programs and also for cost effectiveness and other sorts of modeling efforts. Also, there's been some hypothetical thoughts about type replacement with this vaccine, i.e. there's multiple HPV types that cause cervical cancer, and perhaps there would be types that would replace those that are prevented by the vaccine. So monitoring impact and monitoring HPV types is important to address this area of concern. So as I sort of alluded to earlier, there are many challenges as far as monitoring the impact of HPV vaccine. For one, there are many outcomes of interest, including HPV infection itself, abnormal Pap tests that are caused by HPV, genital warts, conditions like recurrent respiratory papillomatosis, and HPV-associated cancers. In addition, there's few existing systems in place to utilize for measuring impact, surveillance systems that would be easily utilized to measure impact. And the exception for this point is cancers, as we do have good cancer registries in the United States. Another challenge is that the time between infection and the outcomes of interest is not necessarily immediate for most of the outcomes. For anogenital warts, the time from infection to development of warts is months, and for other outcomes like cervical cancer, it can be decades. Some of these particular outcomes of interest, such as cervical cancer precursor lesions, are directly impacted by cervical cancer screening. For example, if methods or the sensitivity of cervical cancer screening changed, those outcomes could change as well, and that's important as far as looking at the impact of HPV vaccine. In addition to really optimally monitor impact with all these variety of different outcomes, it requires sometimes new collaborations with groups that aren't used to working with each other. This is just a reminder of the natural history of HPV infection and development of cervical cancer. I think this is something many of you have seen before. Initial HPV infection with oncogenic types can occur soon after sexual debut, and persistent infection is associated with development of cervical cancer precursor lesions. Over decades, cervical cancer can develop, and in the United States, we have a cervical cancer screening program with the use of the Pap test that can detect these lesions, the lesions that precede cervical cancer before they develop into cervical cancer. Most importantly, for the infection itself, most of these infections clear. 90% of the infections will clear within 2 years. So it provides a little bit of a challenge as far as using HPV infection itself as an outcome for measuring impact of the vaccine. This is a model from Merck of the vaccine impact on HPV 16-18 related CIN23 incidence. That's cervical intraepithelial neoplasias or cervical cancer precursor lesions in females. And this is just to illustrate sort of the time frame for impact of the vaccine. In white is no vaccination, the straight line, and the additional white line is the 12-year-old vaccination of 12-year-old females. And in the green line is vaccination of 12-year-old females in a catch-up group of 12 to 24-year-old females. And as you can see, the impact of, on CIN23 really occurs over the 10 years and up to 20 years. So because this is a somewhat complex area, understanding how best to monitor impact of the HPV vaccine, CDC had a consultation meeting in 2006 to bring in experts to help us to think about what were the priority areas to monitor in order to best measure the impact of the vaccine. And from this meeting, priority areas were determined, and one of the priority areas was to measure CIN23. And the reason for this is that these lesions a majority of these lesions are caused by HPV 16 and 18. And thus, the impact of the vaccine would be more readily appreciated. And in addition, they're more imminent than cancers. Cancers will be decades, and these are less, a little bit more imminent than development of cancer. In addition, it was recommended that typing of these lesions would be very useful and to address the issues of HPV type replacement. And the group also recommended that anogenital warts would be a useful outcome measure as it would allow monitoring of the impact of the vaccine sooner and could be measured in both males and females. So this slide sort of demonstrates the time frames for some of these outcome measures of interest. And certainly the earliest that could be appreciated would be the impact on HPV infection, anogenital warts, and CIN1 lesions. A more intermediate time frame for assessment would be of the cervical cancer precursor lesions. And then a later time frame would be the HPV-associated cancers. This is a list of some of the outcomes of interest and how we are trying to address measurement of these outcomes of interest at CDC. For the measurement of HPV types, we have a few assessments. One of them is NHANES, or the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then we also have some Sentinel projects that are looking at HPV typing specifically. For anogenital warts, there is an STD surveillance network where we are looking at genital warts. And also what's maybe very useful for appreciating the impact on anogenital warts is administrative databases, and I'll talk a little bit about those. For CIN23, which is cervical cancer precursor lesions, there's other Sentinel projects and administrative databases. And for cancers, we have our cancer registries. So I'll next talk a little bit about some of these projects that are addressing the specific outcomes of interest. So the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, I think many of you are familiar with NHANES, is a representative survey of the U.S. non-institutionalized population. And our objectives for this evaluation is to monitor HPV types in cervical vaginal specimens. And since January of 2002, 14 to 59-year-old women are self-collecting, this is an ongoing evaluation, they are self-collecting vaginal swabs, and these swabs are evaluated for HPV. And in addition, they have blood drawn for serological assessment for HPV antibodies. And some of the strengths of this particular assessment is that it is a representative survey of the U.S. Population. Unfortunately, we don't have information on pap tests and biopsies from those women. And we have no current assessment of men. This is just some of the data that's been coming from NHANES on HPV. This is the prevalence of any HPV by age from 2003 to 2004 among the women 14 to 59 years of age. And as you can see, the highest prevalence is in the 20 to 24-year-old women. Another project is the STD Surveillance Network, and the overall purpose of this network is to improve national capacity to detect, monitor, and respond to trends in STDs and related behaviors. It's primarily through STD clinics. The objective for their assessment with anogenital warts is to conduct genital wart surveillance in the STD clinics. And specifically, they're looking at prevalence of genital warts, treatment, costs, They are looking at the resources from STD clinics and how much genital warts cost the system itself. And they're also going to evaluate the impact of the HPV vaccine on genital warts in their clinic setting. There's six project areas: San Francisco, Washington, Colorado, Minnesota, Virginia, and New York City. This is just some data coming out of Sun. This is the number and proportion of STD clinic visits related to genital warts. And as you can see, there's a lot of clinic visits for anogenital warts. In fact, for some of these sites, it's the number one reason for the clinic visit. Another project is our VSD, or Vaccine Safety Data Link project, where we are measuring HPV vaccine impact in the VSD. The purpose of that evaluation is to evaluate baseline HPV-associated conditions, including pap test abnormalities and anogenital warts, in these managed care organization sites that are a part of VSD, or the Vaccine Safety Data Link project. And we're hoping to use this also to monitor impact of the vaccine. And the collaborators are three VSD sites that we're working with, which are Northern California Kaiser, Marshfield, and Northwest Kaiser. And embedded within this project is also to look at HPV types in cervical specimens as a part of this study in two sites. Another project is the looking at administrative databases. MedStat is one example of one of the many administrative databases available, which has claims data from over 28 million covered lives. And this is one of many different administrative databases being explored for the possibility of looking at HPV-associated outcomes. Some of the ways to look at the administrative databases to use ICD-9 codes and CPT codes to monitor HPV vaccine impact over time. And some of the objectives are to look at genital warts, abnormal cytology and histology, and also costs. Another project, ongoing project, is an HPV vaccine monitoring project through the Emerging Infections Program, or EIP. And this, in particular, is looking at population-based monitoring of HPV vaccine impact, looking at specifically cervical intraepithelial neoplasias 2-3 and adenocarcinoma in situ. Also, the goal will be to determine vaccine history among cases and to characterize HPV types in these lesions and to monitor trends over the next decade. And the four sites that are conducting this assessment are in Connecticut, New York, Tennessee, and California. Another project in Alaska is monitoring impact. And in Alaska, working with the Arctic Investigations Program, we're going to look at different types in cervical specimens from colposcopy clinics in Anchorage, and also look at impact on cervical cytology in general. In addition, in Anchorage, they are planning to look at duration of immune response to the HPV vaccine. And finally, the cancer registries. Yearly, about 12,000 cases are reported, and the combined registries of MPCR and SEER cover about 100% of the U.S. population. And in this slide, you can appreciate that between the National Programs Cancer Registries, or MPCR, and SEER, the Surveillance, Epidemiology, and End Results Program, most of the U.S. is covered as far as registries for cancer is concerned. The objectives of a monograph that was recently put together by the Division of Cancer Prevention was to describe the epidemiology of HPV-associated cancers in the U.S. as a baseline. And this will be published in the Journal of Cancer in 2008. It describes a variety of different HPV-associated cancers, including cervical, vaginal, vulvar, penile, anal, and oropharyngeal cancers. There's also plans to monitor cervical cancer precursor lesions within the cancer registries. In three states, they plan to collect CIN23 in addition to their normal cancers that they collect. And the collaborators are Michigan, Louisiana, and Kentucky. And some of the strengths of this evaluation is this group is very familiar with collecting this kind of data, this pathology data, extracting the laboratory data, and they have very clear data standards for completeness and timeliness. One of the challenges will be that vaccine information will be maybe difficult to obtain. And finally, within MPCR, they also are planning to look at HPV types in cervical cancers. They have looked outside of North America in a lot of cervical cancer specimens, but within the United States, there's really been very few cervical cancer specimens that have been evaluated for HPV types. And so in these four states, they are planning to submit cervical cancer specimens to CDC for HPV typing. And a future assessment may be to do this in 5 to 10 years, again, after to measure HPV vaccine impact. So in summary, monitoring the impact of the HPV vaccine is clearly somewhat challenging. We're learning a lot as we go along. And there are multiple outcomes. And the time frame from infection to these outcomes is not necessarily immediate. And we do have plans to look at both immediate and long-term outcomes of interest in a variety of different methods. And within some of these projects, we plan to look at HPV types. And that will be very important to describe the impact of the vaccine on HPV types. And then next steps, just so that you know, that there will be posted on to be determined website the plans that I outlined here as far as monitoring HPV impact. And also, you know, as we're going along, collection of baseline data is very important. Of course, many of these activities are done by a variety of people throughout CDC, and I'd just like to thank some of those that have been contributing to this. Thank you very much.